evening and welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guests are Shannon Wheeler and Emily Rothman. Wheeler and Rothman are seniors at Cornell University, Wheeler majoring in biological engineering, and Rothman studying economics and management for the business and food industry. Both have also made an impressive long-term commitment to Cornell's Habitat for Humanity. Wheeler is executive board president, and Rothman is the group's vice president, and Habitat Cornell is what we're going to discuss this evening. Thank you both for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Shannon, let's begin with you. I know that in this high-tech and competitive culture, there are perhaps some people who would think of community services as kind of old-fashioned, but you've been doing it since high school. What drives you to volunteer like this?
I have. I think it's a nice balance. It's a nice escape from the high-tech and the fast-paced and the equations and the math and everything that comes from engineering. It's a really nice application of it all, and you see how it's actually used in the real world and how it's actually helping people. And it's important to look at that aspect of it, too, and it does get left by the wayside sometimes. But
did your family stress it as well when
you
were younger?
They definitely did. They definitely did. And my mom was always interested in Habitat for Humanity, and I didn't have it at my high school, but when I came to Cornell, they had it, and I said, my mom always liked Habitat. I should give that a whirl. And so it worked out.
Yeah. You've been involved for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. What about you, Emily? What's your commitment to public service and community service?
Well, part of it's selfish in that I love the people that you meet, that you're helping, the skills that I learn, the work that we're doing. And part of it is just putting a perspective on it's easy to get caught up in your own studies and your friends and your life on campus. It's good to remember that there's a community here and there's a way that we can interact and be of help to them.
Mm-hmm. And so it's a real-world application,
it
right?
Because
when you just sit in a dorm and read books or sit in classrooms,
it's very easy
you,
to
you
get
forget
yourself.
That there's a world out there that actually could maybe use your assistance, yeah. Well, I applaud you both for staying committed for so many years as well. You guys are both planning careers in disciplines that have nothing to do with Habitat. So what was it about Habitat's mission that made you want to do this?
I think it's just an incredibly compassionate idea. I think a home is so important for a family, and you realize it when you get more and more involved with Habitat. I think people don't think of it at first. They think of it as this construction project, but even us college kids, we love to go home over break, and you associate things with that, and it's this great feeling, and these people don't have that, and to give them that gift is just a wonderful thing to be able to do, and you can tell when you work alongside them and just see the looks on their faces and things that you're really doing something remarkable for them that's not easy for them to achieve on their own, and so it's a nice way to give back in a really profound way, I think, which is unique about Habitat.
Yeah, what about you, Emily? You're an outdoors person and a traveler. I think I already know the answer.
Well, I think a lot of people forget, I'm studying business, so maybe I'll end up in a nonprofit land, but a lot of people forget, even with a career, whatever it is you do during your day, a lot of our volunteering work is done on the weekend. So just because maybe you're a dentist or any kind of occupation, your free time is yours, and it's not to say that everyone has to do it, but I find that it's nice, something I enjoy to do in my free time. Like, you can have a career and still volunteer.
Mm-hmm. So it gives you something actually constructive to do, right?
Yeah.
But let's talk about Habitat. I know it was founded in 1976, and it's in all 50 states and in many different countries. Why did Habitat Cornell start? Do you know the answer to that?
And
what was its mission?
I know it started in 1989 and that it's just built up ever since. It started with some really active, enthusiastic people, and it was huge. And I think it's gone through years when it's been, you know, bigger or smaller, or active or less active, but it's always been around, and we really have established a name for ourselves on campus as a really well-respected, strong community service group, and we just continue to try and build ourselves up and expand what we do and help in different areas in different ways.
So. Mm-hmm. I'm particularly impressed that you two women were so heavily involved. Really, is it hard to attract women to this kind of a project? Outside, up on roofs?
Roofs are one thing.
No,
ironically enough, we have a lot more females than males. Before us, there was a male president, years of male presidents, and more males on the board, but right now we're really heavily female-dominated. And I don't know if it's just a place that females feel safe or feel comfortable in doing it, and I think the connection of the family and the home aspect of it with the construction is kind of what attracts females to it in some ways, but...
And also to learn new skills, I would assume.
Yeah.
There's no reason to go helpless through the world anymore, you know?
No way.
Do you know what Cornell Habitat's actual mission is? To go out into the community and so on. Tell me more.
Our mission, I mean, we work under Habitat's general mission is to construct simple, decent homes for families in need. And we kind of work on the concept that we give people a hand up, not a handout. Habitat home isn't free. The family is working alongside you during the construction process, helping however they can. They put in 500 hours of what they call sweat equity. And they might be putting up the walls with you if they're elderly or disabled. They might be making lunch or sweeping up the sawdust at the end of the day. They do whatever they can. They also have a low rate mortgage to pay over 15 to 20 years when the house is done. And that money cycles right back into the next Habitat home. So you're working alongside that family, and we work with our county affiliates and sort of build on that mission. And the function of a campus chapter is to advocate, educate, build, and fundraise. And so we try and touch on all four of those things in the activities we do throughout the year and on our trips and fundraisers.
Mm-hmm. And do you think Habitat has been steered in a little bit of a different direction with women in charge? Or have you kept on the same track?
Emily says no, I say yes.
Explain.
I think we've tried to put a little more effort into advocacy and education. But I don't know if that's because of us being females, but I know for me, I was always a little bit more interested in knowing the family a little more and knowing other ways we could help them besides just putting their home up. And I think we have tried to educate the campus a little more on the need and really connect them to the emotional side of it, maybe. But, I mean, definitely the guys before us were still very linked to that and understood that that was such an important component of Habitat.
Mm-hmm. When you joined, Emily, what was your concept of the mission of Habitat that attracted you to?
I'd say the similar things. Not that for me hasn't changed. I've just learned more of what's behind that over the years. Other things, we aren't just building houses as well. We also do a lot of refurbishment work. Mm-hmm. So if a house is unsafe to live in and a family can't afford to fix it up, if they've got drips and molds and all kinds of things like that, or if an elderly person is unable to get into the home for health reasons, we'll build a ramp, things like that. Sometimes there's smaller day projects that get done as well. So that's also important things that need to be done around the community that Habitat's been able to help out with. So,
well, what kind of education do you actually bring into the community? Education about what?
We do education activities pretty strictly on campus, but just trying to increase the awareness that there's a tremendous need for affordable housing right here in Ithaca and beyond Ithaca in the United States, throughout the world. I mean, we did an activity earlier last fall semester where we built a shack kind of in the center of campus. And I think at first people saw it and were like, what the heck is Habitat doing nailing together cardboard boxes in the middle of the arts quad? And then they saw it and read the information we had with it and the statistics about the need to fix the problem that exists with housing. And I think it really opened a lot of people's eyes. A lot of people didn't know Habitat was international and didn't really realize that there were people right here in this area because we get so locked in that Cornell world. So in that way, we try and just make people more aware of the need because we don't see it on a day-to-day basis on campus. I think
that's the case in this whole area, too. You don't see as many homeless people as you would in a big city.
No.
So people probably don't think there's a problem. Yeah.
Exactly.
So this organization is run by students. And tell me the structure. You have meetings every week.
Yes. Meetings every week.
The president runs the meetings, and tell us.
Right. President runs the meetings. We have a board of stewards is what we call ourselves, and it's kind of the president, vice president, treasurer, secretary, typical setup, but we have a lot of other chairs and people that head up our events and things like that, and it's an open board. Anyone can stop in on any Sunday when we're meeting and check us out, join, make a small commitment, a big commitment. We have a general body of over 1,500 people that get our emails about our work trips and our events. So a lot of people are interested, and even if they're not working with us all the time, they know what's going on. And we have a lot of events throughout the semester and work trips every Saturday. So.
And a lot of those volunteers who may not be interested in the organizational side will come on a weekend or Saturday work trip. So it's great organization because it's so flexible. Mm-hmm. If you have a busy schedule, there's no commitment. You have to come every Saturday. So maybe when exams are over or you have time in your schedule, they'll come for a weekend. Mm-hmm. But it's not like you have to commit, which is great with a busy student with a busy schedule.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, what about training? Do you give people basic training on how to paint houses or repair houses?
A lot of people come to us and say, I've never been held a hammer. I have no idea what I'm doing. Can I still go on a trip? Absolutely. We teach as we go. The site supervisors and construction managers at the houses are always wonderful about teaching us what to do and showing us the right way to do it so that we know for the future. We bring our own tools with us, and some people, you know, have had a summer job doing roofing and are great help, and other people who've never done it before pick it up just as quick. So I know I've learned drywall and shingles and painting and all sorts of stuff along the way.
And we always put safety first. So yes. We're going to be there saying, here's how you use the saw first, and here's the, make sure you got the goggles and all that before you let them rip. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a resident consultant that you can go to if you do find problems, like for instance, asbestos? Or would you even be able to identify something like that?
I personally would not, but we're always, when we're working on habitat houses, there's always someone there from the affiliates we work with or the construction manager there to do a heads up. And I know we have run into problems on rehab work and things. You kind of never know what you're going to find. And so there's always someone to go to with that. And we learn a lot, you know, running into those problems.
Mm-hmm. I know one of your missions is to remedy substandard housing. Define that for us. Tell us, what are some of the problems?
Substandard being that it's unclean or unsanitary, unsafe health-wise with mold or just plumbing or leaks and things like that, that it's too small, that there's too many people living in the house and it's not adequate room to raise a family in. Substandard in that the family's paying too much for it, and, you know, you shouldn't be paying more than, I think the statistic is 30% mm-hmm. of your income towards housing, and there's so many cases where families are and it's not a good home to be living in still. I think those are some of the biggest things that we looked at, aside from obvious structural issues. But
So people would actually call you and say, will you come out and see if my house is substandard?
For rehab-type work, people can come to Habitat, and we would take a look at it. And, I mean, when we're interviewing new families for new houses, they definitely look at the conditions they're in now. And there's cases where these families are paying more money for their rent than they'll be paying for their Habitat home, and the house still, you know, it's leaky windows and they're energy bills are through the roof, and it's too small for their family, and so they definitely find those conditions all the time.
Mm-hmm. And there's a whole application process that we as students don't manage, but our local Ithaca affiliate does look at the adults who know how that process works and the best way to work within the law system and within their financial system to figure out what's the best course of action to take. Mm-hmm.
So you're in close touch with Tompkins Habitat,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, yep. We work by them all the time. Yeah. And we go to their board meetings and, you know, keep them up to date on what we're doing, and they do the same with us. So we have a nice working relationship with
them. And you guys share jobs? Or are you guys to have to do specific things because you're students?
We work on their board. I mean, we kind of just sit in and give our input on their meetings, but we do some fundraising collaboration together. We work on their home and on their construction projects. We provide a lot of volunteer labor for them in that sense. So it's a nice, we have our own activities on campus with fundraising and advocacy and such, but we also have a nice connection through the construction and with them as a larger organization.
Mm-hmm. We've also been fortunate in working with Ithaca College, who has a large campus chapter as well, and been able to team our efforts in some fundraising projects, and they send a lot of volunteers out too, so that's been great for us.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know you were all connected like that.
Yeah, we're all
connected. You're so used to organizations competing with each other.
Well, we finally have all found each other, and it's really been wonderful to work together.
It makes more sense to work with them than competing with them.
Oh, I would assume so, especially if you have the same mission. I mean, why?
Exactly.
Why compete? Yeah. I know you guys aren't from this immediate area. Are you surprised by how much substandard housing there is in this area? Tell us about that. Is there a lot?
Yes, and I didn't realize it before I got here, because you see Cornell and the houses around all look pretty nice, and everybody's, you know, a professor or whatnot, and we certainly all have our own income bracket, but everything looks fine. And even when you come downtown, there aren't a ton of homeless people roaming everywhere and sleeping on the streets, and things look okay. And then I know the first time I went on a Habitat trip, it was probably about 5 minutes out of Ithaca, and it looked very rural, but it also looked very substandard in that the houses were kind of falling apart, and these people, they really needed help just to get their home back to where they wanted it. They had a lot of pride in, you know, the work they did and where they lived, and they wanted it to be nice, and they just needed help. And it was right around the corner. And I don't know the exact numbers, but it's definitely, it's here, and it hides itself well, I guess, but it's certainly a problem.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Emily?
I'd say similar thing.
You're from New England, aren't you?
I'm from New England, and I'm sure I had a blind eye to it growing up. I'm sure it was all around me there, too. and it is still there, I'm sure. I've done a bit of research over the years, and I know there are homeless shelters downtown in Ithaca. They do have problems in that they're overcrowded or, you know, other issues like that as well. There's a need, and the city, I know, is working on trying to meet it, but any way that we can help is appreciated. Mm-hmm. So.
Do you do referrals, too? If you go to a house where there's really some dysfunctional stuff going on or people really need, like, medical attention, do you deal with that kind
of thing? I've never been involved in a house where we have, but I would think that just knowing the people on the Habitat Board and things like that, they're very in tune to issues like that that are going on. And if they see something, granted, our main objective is the house, but they try and help the family, even with other issues. Our Family Selection Committee on the Tompkins-Cortland Habitat Board, they also work with helping the family learn how to manage finances because many of them have never had to pay a regular mortgage before, and they need help with learning how to do things like that and establishing, you know, good solid jobs and things of the like. So we help them with other things outside of just putting the walls up, too.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk to you about some of the people and families that you've assisted here in Tompkins County. Do you have any stories to tell us, particular people that you've really helped? And
I've worked with a few different families. We both have, Emily and I. And along the way, it's very interesting how the first time you go to a Habitat house, they'll introduce you to the family, and it's kind of very businesslike and formal. And as you get painting that wall or hanging that drywall with them, they'll gradually start to tell you a little bit more about themselves. And they'll really open up to you and tell, you know, where they work and what the house means to them and how you see how excited their kids are and how happy they are about that. And so as much as many of them want to keep their stories private and I don't think they're embarrassed to need a Habitat home, but in a way they probably wish they didn't and wish they could do it on their own, you do develop a real relationship with them on a personal level. And they're so proud once they have the house and they're just so satisfied with it. And I've encountered a lot of families who, over the course of working with them, they've just opened up and even become so much more outgoing because they've realized that we have no less respect for them because they need a Habitat home. We have respect for them because they're willing to work alongside us and they're willing to recognize that, you know, their family can be in this great house and they can work with a wonderful organization and get to a better place, I guess, if you want to put it that way. So.
You are listening to Out of Bounds on WEOS. I'm Tish Perlman, and my guests are Shannon Wheeler and Emily Rothman from Cornell's Habitat for Humanity. Did you want to add anything to some of the experiences you've had, Emily?
I would say I've had some wonderful conversations working alongside homeowners and their children, especially I've had teenage guys who were so excited to have all these, you know, college-age females around them working their house.
Yeah.
But seriously, I think, though I've heard some hard past that people have gone through, they're very forward-thinking, excited for what's going on, glad to have us there at helping them out, and ready to move forward. And it's just been a great experience. And I think having that positive attitude is key to making everything work. So,
And I assume they would assist you on what they need, too, and help you help them in
Absolutely.
That way as well. And I bet you taught some of those guys a few tricks, right?
Right.
let's talk about a major project the community will be really interested in, I'm sure. Operation Home Delivery. Tell us about it.
That's the one. It is a big one. Operation Home Delivery is Habitat International's sort of mass way of getting affiliates across the country involved in hurricane relief for the hurricanes that took place past fall. A lot of people rushed to us right after they happened and said, what can we do? We want to build houses. We want to help these people. And that was wonderful, but they just weren't ready for it down south. And so what this program does, it invites affiliates across the country to raise the money to fund a house, which is $75,000. And once you've raised that money, they give you the opportunity to build the frame of the home and the wall partitions right in your community. So we would do it right here in Ithaca. You build the frame, you sort of tack it together so it looks like a house, and then you collapse it up, fold it up, stick it on a truck, and ship it south, and they reestablish it in its place and finish it off. And so that $75,000 covers the materials, the transportation, the land acquisition, everything start to finish to get a family back on its feet. And I heard about the project, Ithaca College heard about the project, and we said, we really, really want to do something. Let's shoot for it. It's way more money than we've ever raised. We want to do it. So that's the project that we're undertaking this semester, and we do sincerely hope to get not only our colleges together on it, but the Ithaca community together on raising the money and in collaboration with raising that money. we approached Tompkins Cortland with the idea, and they said, that's wonderful. We love the way you guys think. There's also a tremendous need for a Habitat home right here in this area. That's what we're always working for. And so we've decided to partner the two projects together and raise $75,000 for a home down south and $75,000 for the next Habitat home that will go up in the Tompkins Cortland area. And so it's a big old $150,000 campaign to kind of do a home from us and a home for them. So we're very excited about it.
Wow, that's interesting. So all you guys are collaborating.
Yes.
Tompkins, Habitat,
Teamwork
Cornell.
Was the way to go. The kids, the adults, the whole area. And to do something for here because the need is here and we need to not neglect that. And the need is also so great there that we want to do something to help out as well.
Mm-hmm. You have anything to add about that?
I also think this home Operation Home Delivery thing is a great idea in that it allows people with families or jobs or things that aren't able to just go down there right now to feel like they can physically contribute if they don't have the monetary resources to help out with that. So it's a, I think that's a great opportunity as well.
Mm-hmm. That is a wonderful idea. Yeah. Has Habitat also sent people down to help construct and work with
we
some
Habitat
of the homeless
Cornell
people?
Has not, but people have, from our area have gone down, and we do hope to go down later in the year with Habitat through Habitat for Humanity. But there are already Habitat volunteers reestablishing themselves in the area and looking at the land that's available and the cleanup that needs to be done to figure out where these Habitat neighborhoods essentially can start to go back up and when they can begin the actual building process. Mm-hmm. It took a while for them to get back in, but they are.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really tough, long job because politics is coming into it, and I think it's going to be a real heck of a hard job.
Not as easy as just putting up the frame of that house.
To reestablish some of those neighborhoods with what's happening right now, How are you going to raise funds? What are you going to do?
Great question.
Okay, well, folks, you heard it right here. Come up with some ideas
for
them.
Here we go.
We can use your help. We're doing... about to embark on a big approach to churches in the area to explain our mission to them because Habitat is a Christian-based organization. We don't focus on that aspect of it because we don't want to turn anyone away because it's Christian, but that is one of the foundations that International works off of. So we are going to be approaching churches and saying, hey, team up with this. We need your help here. They need your help there. On our own campuses, we're also doing a lot of events, trying to involve athletic teams and other organizations with us, silent auctions, fundraisers, just getting out there on Hope Plaza with the cans to collect change just to get the word out. We in the past have always done a letter writing campaign to families and friends saying this is what Habitat Cornell is doing, and we'll certainly be doing that this year with Operation Home Delivery, trying to get support from afar to come in this way, and we hope to partner with other Ithaca businesses just to get their support and get the word out that we're doing this.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I think getting the word out is probably key.
That's step one.
I wanted to talk to Emily about volunteering for Hurricane Katrina. You're on your way to do that soon.
Well, I just got back, actually.
Oh, okay.
On Sunday, I've been down in Biloxi, Mississippi, which a lot of people hear about New Orleans, but Biloxi, Mississippi was also hard hit. There's about 70 miles of destruction down there still, which is, if you think, it's from like Boston to Providence. Pretty long area. And I was floored, not only by the great volunteering that's going on down there, but how much is left to be done. You would have think the storm hit yesterday.
Really?
There's debris everywhere. Homes are moldy, rotting, you know, a mess. It was an absolute mess down there. There's so much work to do, and I think it's been some time now, and 5 months about, since the hurricane, and maybe things are getting quieter around here. I know it seems to be cooling and moving to the back burner, but the need is still there. There's a ton to be done. Mm-hmm. And
what were you exactly doing?
I did a bit of everything. I was only there for a week, but I worked with a different organization, and every day we were doing something different, whether you're gutting homes or street cleaning, or I did some roof repairs because often the house itself is okay, but if the roof has damage, more water is just going to get in every time it rains. So I did, I worked at a museum, was trying to recover all their artifacts because the whole thing just collapsed. You know, you think of the families, and then there's all their history and their supermarkets. Everything's dead.
But I'm surprised that it's still in such bad shape after all these months. What's the hang-up in? Bureaucratic?
Okay. There's so much political arguments going on down there right now between FEMA and all these other organizations who, because of their bureaucratic setup and all these things, either can't do things or don't know what they should be doing, or there's a lot of discussion and dialogue that needs to happen. But in the meantime, there's families there living in unsafe housing without occupation. Kids can't get to school. It's a mess, to be honest.
God, isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah.
Little fiefdoms probably pitching a tent. And
Yep, there's tent cities that have been put up, and people are living there. Old supermarkets, everything.
Oh,
yep.
That's unbelievable.
It's heartbreaking, but also beautiful to see the spirit of the people working there. And I was there for Martin Luther King Day, and we had a parade. And to see everyone come out and just cheer and saying thank you and everyone's wanting to rebuild, glad that they've made it through and looking for the future. So
I assume they still need volunteers down there.
Yes.
I will just mention to our listeners that if anybody does want to volunteer, we will be giving some information out for contacting Habitat toward the end of the show. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think you're going to take from your experience with Habitat into your future?
Oh, gosh, Habitat's taught me so many things. Not only those practical skills. Someday I will repair my own home. I will save money doing it unless I have one. Right. It's taught me about the power of teamwork and just believing in your goal and sharing a mission with people. We've done really wonderful things, and you feel incredibly accomplished. You just feel so good about yourself and the organization when you see how satisfied that family is, and it makes you appreciate very simple things like having a home to go to and having it be warm and dry and safe. And you don't realize how important those things are until you think for a minute about what it would be like to not have them. I have gone to 2 house dedications, and I have left them both in tears because these families are so happy about the most simple, basic things. They have a window over their kitchen sink to look out in the backyard and watch their kids, or the daughter's room is painted purple, and it's her dream come true. And these families are so happy. It just reminds you that you can do something. You can make a difference. It's simple. It's easy to do. And it's a really profound change for these people when they get a home.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Emily? What do you think you'll take?
The same with that, and just pushing your comfort level just a little bit to do something that you, on your own maybe, even if your friends aren't into this. You meet such great people. We have a good time. I always make my group sing when they come in the car with me. And it's a great way to enjoy life and yet make a difference at the same time and really share with each other and learn from each other. You'd be surprised what friendships can be made on these trips.
Very true.
It's just
and aren't you surprised in this day and age and in this very wealthy country that there are still so many people with inadequate housing and inadequate shelter and so on? So has it taught you anything about the politics and make you want to go in to make change in that way?
There's definitely days when you do it and you have a good day and you go, I could just do this forever. Because if more people did this, you go, wow, the world would just be a tremendously wonderful place. And part of that is just getting the word out and saying Habitat's a great thing and they do an important thing for a lot of people. And just, you know, we're so thrilled when we pull new people on board because we spread the word that much farther. But it really, you just feel good. And there's not a lot of things in the day-to-day that always do that for people. I mean, we get really caught up in things, but
especially as a student, when sometimes you're studying very theoretical, which seem kind of out there, abstract thoughts, and it's neat to have a little skill and feel like you've accomplished something at the end
brings
of the day.
Brings you back down to earth.
Brings
that's
you, yeah.
Sure.
That's
How can people get in touch? Websites, phone numbers?
Absolutely. They can hit up www.tchabitat.com or www.rso.cornell.edu/habitat, and they can email habitat@cornell.edu, and we can put them in touch with our Habitat, the Tompkins-Cortland Habitat, Ithaca College Habitat, wherever they want to go.
Terrific.
And www.habitat.org is our international site. So if you want to know what's going on in other countries, Operation Home Delivery, how that works in the U.S., any other factoids and stuff, it's a great website.
Well, we have run out of time. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Out of Bounds is produced by Tim Reppert at Rep Studio in Ithaca. We are a project of the Women's Interfaith Institute in Seneca Falls. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. If you want to talk to us, you can email us at weos@hws.edu. We'll be back next week. I'm Tish Perlman.